After the daf yud zayin, so we got to the very bottom of tes zayin amud beis, the last line that the Gemara says Tanu Rabbanan Shlosha Hitimim Hakadosh Baruch Hu Olam Haza, that there were three individuals of Hakadosh Baruch Hu who let them taste what Olam Haba is. Olam Haza and Me'ain Olam Haba. In this world, he allowed them to taste Olam Haba, and Elohein Avram Yitzchak Yaakov all had a little bit of a taste of Olam Haba, as it says Avram Dichsev Bei Bechol. It says. And Yitzchak dichsev bei mikol, and Yaakov dichsev bei kol. So lashon of kol indicates some level of a me'ein olam haba. Look at the top Tosas for a second. Shlosha me'ein olam haba. Tema l'rashba. Amai lo chashiv nami Iov. We learned the other day that Iov damar le'el va'asonos ros al yadayim, that the donkeys would be eating after the cows would first plow, then a few seconds later, then the donkeys would be eating, and we learned from that Gemara that melamed shehitimu HaKadosh Baruch Hu me'ein olam haba. So Iov should be number 4. So answers Tosfos v'yesh lomar de'iov lo haya el bechad milsa. He only had one aspect. That idea of like instant gratification is only one element of olam haba, but there's so much more that Iov didn't taste. Well, Avram Yitzchak Yaakov nenu me'ein olam haba mikol v'kol, every aspect of olam haba they were able to taste. Then the Gemara says, Shlosha lo shalat behen yetzahara. There are three who were never overtaken by the yetzahara. Who are they? Elohein. Avram Yitzchak Yaakov, dichsiv behu, bikol, mikol, vikol. V'yesh Avram, others add, there's even a fourth individual who was never shalit by yetzahara. That's Av David. Dichsiv vilibi chalal bikirbi. So Rashi explains three lines down, Chalal b'kirbi, Yetzahara mace b'kirbi. It died, L'lashon Chalal, it died. My Yetzahara died within my heart. He was able to overcome his Yetzahara. So he's number 4, according to the Yeshomim. But the Idach, the first opinion, who did not include David, Tzarehu d'kamadcher, that he was just remembering all the Tzar that the Yetzahara had given him, all the Tzaros, but not that he had overcome the Yetzahara. Okay, look at there's a Tosos here, it's a little bit out of order, but look at Tosos Dira Maschil Shlosha Lo Shalat Ben Yetzahara. So Rashi says, Tosos says, Ein Lefarish Shlo Shalat Klal, doesn't mean they weren't encountered by this at all. Dimkein Hecha Kiblo Leg Agra. Had you received Schar? If you don't fight the Yetzahara, then you never get Schar. Ela Kedamar Mai Dichsiv Ragli Chasidav Yishmor. Kevin Shavar Adam Rov Shnosa Velochata. The person goes most of his years and doesn't sin. He had Yetzahara, but doesn't mean having Yetzahara doesn't mean you sin. It just means it's a struggle. So if a person most of his life he's able to not sin, Shuv Einachote, he'll never sin again. Hachanami Kevin Shara Kadosh Baruch Hu Shayudoch in Atzman Kolkach Lishrachik Min Avera. Since Kadosh Baruch Hu sees how hard they fought against Yetzahara, Siyama Kadosh Baruch Hu Mikan Ve'elach Shel Shalat Behen Yetzahara. After that point. So of course they were human, just like we're human. But they were able to overcome the Yetzara to a point where Kadosh Baruch Hu pushed away the Yetzara after a rove of their shanim. Okay, the Gemara says now for the Tanu Rabbanan. Shisha lo shalat behen malach ha-mevas. There are 6 people who did not die from the malach ha-mevas, the kiss of death. Ve'lohein. Avram Yitzchak V'Yaakov, Moshe Aaron U'Miriam. So these are the 6 individuals. How do we know? Avram Yitzchak V'Yaakov dechsebu mikol mikol kol. Moshe Aaron Umiriam Dichsibu al pi Hashem. Al pi Hashem, they're only from Kadosh Baruch Hu's kiss, the neshika of Hashem, did they die, but not because of the Malach HaMavis. V'ha Miriam lo ksibu al pi Hashem. You look at the Pesukim, it doesn't say pi Hashem anywhere in the context of Miriam. Amar Rabbi Eliezer, Miriam nami b'neshika mesa. She also died b'neshika. How do we know? It doesn't say. The Asya Sham Shami Moshe, the Gzer Shava, it says Sham by Moshe, the Sham by Miriam, Gzer Shava. So why not? Mipnei malo nemar ba al pi Hashem. Why doesn't it say explicitly that Miriam died al pi Hashem like it says by Moshe and by Aaron? Sheganai hadavar lomar, it's inappropriate to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave a kiss to Miriam, even though that's what was meant. It was something that we don't want to really mention explicitly, but Eina Hanami, she did die al pi Hashem from the Neshika of Hashem. Then Tanur Abad in the Brisa says further, Shiva lo shalat behen rima v'toleya. There's 7 individuals who were not subject to the worms and the decaying of the body after death. V'eluhein, Avram Yitzchak V'Yaakov again, Moshe Aaron Miriam, and this time we're adding Binyamin ben Yaakov. So how do we know this? Avram Yitzchak V'Yaakov, dechsebhu, bikol, mikol, kol. They get everything. They get Olam Haba, the Nol Yetahara. Those words mean they were zocha to every good thing. Moshe, Aaron, Umiriam, Dichsiv, Behu, al pi Hashem. So al pi Hashem, that somehow indicates that they too did not. So look at Rashi says. Rashi is kida amron. You see Rashi kida amron around halfway down the line to the parak here. Shemesu al pi shchina vein ruuya rima vishlishlo b'mishen nashik mishchina. Though someone who is kissed by the shchina, it's inappropriate that a worm and any decaying happens to the body. Sharei ein harima ba ela mitipa mara hamitaptefes miskeno shemach hamavis. These worms only really evolve from a bitter, some disgusting drip that comes from Achamavis. That's how it comes about. But if a Kadosh Baruch Hu is the one who killed them, took away their neshama, then there's nothing bad that could really create these worms. Then the Gemara says, B'yamani bin Yaakov, how do we know he also was the seventh one, L'shlosha barima v'taleah. Amar Yidid Hashem Yishkon LaVetach Alav, that Binyamin was resting within the Betach Alav, with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So Rashi explains here, nothing really more, but the fact that he was being shochen in a close proximity to the Shechina, he also wasn't roy for this to happen to his body. The Yeshomim, there are others who add an eighth person, Af David. Even David was such an individual. Dichsev Af Bisari Yishkon Levetach, that my basar was Yishkon Levetach, it also wasn't subject to these worms. Idach, the other one who did not include David, explains this pasuk, meaning Hahu Rachmehu Dekabai. It was just simply he was davening, but not that his basar was actually Yishkon Levetach. He wanted to, but not the Maisa, that didn't necessarily happen.
Didn't we learn Rashi Baruch Hu's son also? What's his name? The one who used
his name?
Rashim,
yep. That he also lo shal barim
etulia. They put him in the attic. They didn't let him.
That story.
Right.
Yeah, and also Aruga Besar, no. That's how we say the bracha.
So look at the Gemara. Tosfos quotes this point. Look at Tosfos. Tosfos writes Shiva shelo shalta ben rima. Very good. Shiva shelo shalta ben rima. Tamil or Ashba again, the Chulu Tzadikin Ami. All Tzadikim have the same, we're Zocha to this same level. Damar B'Shabbos Perka Shaol V'Rakiv Atzmos Kina. Misha Yeshlo Kina Biliba, those who have jealousy, then Atzmos of Nirkavin, then their bones are rot. V'Shein Kina, those who are not jealous, which are Tzadikim, Biliba, Ain Atzmos of Markivin. So everyone was Zocha, not only these six or seven or eight individuals here. V'Yeshomer D'Yachol Yos Shlo Yirkav, it's possible that it won't rot. However, Yisha Barima, it still could have Rima. There's two different things. There's rotting, there's decaying, but there's also worms crawling over. Kedamar, as you said, B'maisa de Rebbe Eliezer ben Shimon, V'asocha Asapolim, D'nafik Richsha Meon. Remember that a worm had fallen out from his ear. So you can't have worms on such bodies, even though they haven't decomposed. Okay, last piece of the Gemara here in the Perek. Tanya Rabban, the Brisa says, Arba Mesu Beitav Shal Nachash. There are four individuals who died only because of the Nachash from Adam, the Chayv of Adam Arisham. And had it not been for that, they would not have died because they were Mamash Tzadikim, they never sinned. Elu, hein, who were the four? Binyamin ben Yaakov, Amram Avi Moshe. So Binyamin, the son of Yaakov, Amram, the father of Moshe, Vishai Avi David, the father of David, Vekilav ben David. Now, what's interesting about this with the Bali Musar, I never saw this, but I once spoke about this at a Drasha, that these four individuals are mentioned in the context of their father and their son. And who was greater? So Amram was great, he never sinned, but Moshe was even greater. It says Amram Avi Moshe. And Binyamin was great, but his father Yaakov was even greater. So we know who Binyamin is, we know who Amram is, we know who Yishai is. Kilav, maybe we don't know who Kilav is, fine. But either way, why they mention the context of the father or son, telling us that these were great. But put them up against their fathers and sons who actually sinned, they were even greater leaders. To be a great leader is going to have some risk involved. You're going to make some mistakes along the way. If you want to take a safer route, that's fine, but you're not going to be a great leader. You'll be a great person, but not a great leader. To be a great leader, like David, Yaakov, and Moshe, it requires some risk and sins along the way. So anyways, the Gemara says, these are the four who only died because of the Nachash. Had not been for that, they never would have died. The Kulhu Gemara, they're all a Mesora. We have a tradition that this is true. The Bar Meishai Avi David, except for Yishai, the Mefarish Beikra. There's an explicit pasuk that tells us that Yishai never sinned. Dichsev Ves Amsa Sham Avshalom Tachas Yoav Al Tzava VaMasa Ben Ish Vishmo Yisra HaYisraeli Asher Ba El Avigail Bas Nachash Achos Tzuya Em Yoav. So this is a long description of who he was, a different lineage. So anyways, Avigail was the daughter of Nachash. It's a very strange thing. How you're a daughter of a Nachash? V'chi bas Nachashi? Was she the daughter of a snake? V'alo bas Yishai? She was the daughter of Yishai. Why are we calling Yishai a Nachash? So of the daughters of Yishai, it's listed that Abigail is a daughter of Yishai, not a daughter of the Nachash. Ella basmi shemes bita v'shanachash. The daughter of one who died only because of the Nachash, not because of anything else. That's a reference to how Yishai, we know Yishai was a tzaddik and never sinned. Hajin lach hashutv. Okay. Are ready for a new parak, the second parak. Adam's very excited about the second parak. It's not an easy parak at all. This parak we're going to encounter the halachas of grama, indirect damage. Grama, the halacha is it's pater, you don't have to pay for grama, but at the same time there is an iser. It's an iser to be mazik be grama, but at the same time you don't pay for it. You are chayv to pay bidei shemayim, but bidei adam, there is no chiv to pay for grama. So we're going to discuss now various things about how to separate different properties of digging bores and whatnot. So there's a discussion when I have to separate my bore from your property and your bore. So there's a requirement in the Mishnah you have to separate. There's a machlokas whether that's a din deraisa or a din derabanan. According to many, we show this is a din deraisa because if I dig my bore too close to your property, I'm being mazik your property. That's an issa deraisa. Others say no, this is only grama, so therefore the requirement to separate my bor is only a din d'rabbanan. So that's a discussion in the Rishonim. So let's begin the new pair. The Mishnah says, Lo yachpor adam bor besamech leboro shel chaveru. I'm not allowed to dig a pit next to your pit. Velo shiach, I can't build a shiach, is a long, narrow ditch. Below Ma'ara, a cave, Rashi explained, is a sign that has a cover on it, a ceiling, that's a cave. Below Amas Hamayim, now we try to build a little irrigation, a little stream. Below Nivrechas Kovsin, or I can either build a certain a pool that I'd use to launder things. And Ela Imkain, Hirchuk Mikosel Chavero, Shlosha Tvachim. Unless I distance it from the wall, my friend, three Tvachim. Now what the Gemara is going to point out is initially we start talking about Lo Yachpor Adam Bor Samech Labor Shechavero. I can't build next to his bor, but then the Mishnah here concludes I need to separate from the wall. So are we referring to the separating from a bor, or are we referring to separating from a wall? So that's a contradiction that the Gemara is going to pick up on. That's the first thing. You need to separate three tefachim from either the bor or from the wall when I build my own bor, when I build my own shiach, my own type of ditch. I need to also cement it to strengthen it, to reinforce it. And then the Mishnah says, Marchikin es a gefes. What's gefes? So Rashi explains gefes is the psolas zesim shinsatu bebeis habad. The remainder of the olives, after you press the olives and make olive oil, there's all the flesh of the olives is called the zefes. And es a zeva, which is all the manure. And vesa melach and salt, vesa sid and plaster. Vesa slaim, certain types of rocks. And Rashi explains these are rocks that somehow fire or heat would really be emitted from these rocks. I don't know what rock we're talking about. Did it say in the article what type
coals.
Of rock? Coals, yeah. Okay. So coals. So
this is coalition.
Rashi, yeah, that's what Rashi means. I didn't understand this. Look at Rashi Aslaim. Avanim Sha'or Yote Mehen Shekoran Coals. Shekol Elu Kushin Lachoma Shemotzin Hevel. These are all very bad for the salt, bad for the walls, and the Zevel, and the Gefes. All these things are bad for the wall. So therefore, you have to separate it from the Kosel Shel Chavero Shlosha Tvachim. You need to distance three Tvachim. And Sad Besid, and it's either or in addition to that, you need to plaster it as well. Then the third stage of the Mishnah is marchikinas hazraim. You need to separate seeds, plants, v'sa machrisha, plowing, v'sa meraglaim, and urine, minakosel shlosha tzvachim, from the wall. Fine, that's the third stage. These are different things that all, again, ruin the walls and the pits. Umarchikinas harechaim, then you also have to separate the grinding, because when you grind in the mill, it's going to shake the land. So you need to separate shlosha minashechev, shein arba minarechev. Shechev is the bottom part of the mill, and the rechev is the top part. So you need to separate the bottom part, three tefachim, from the guy's wall, which will mean that the top part, which is smaller, the top part of the rechaim, which is only, it's going to be four tefachim away. Vesatanor, you need to separate the oven, shloshim mina kilya, shehein arba mina safa. So the tanor has to be three tefachim, measuring from the bottom of the tanor, which is wide, is three tefachim away, but the top, where it gets narrow, is going to be four tefachim away from the guy's wall. Now the reason for all of this, look at Rashi, Dibra Maschil Elim Kane. It's around 10 lines down in this Mishnah here. Elim Kane Mipnei, he said, Mipnei she ha-chafira smucha labor, machaleshes kosle abor, umirape osan. Says Rashi, when I dig my bor, it's softer than the ground. Achlokas, what that means, softening. Some say because I'm shaking the ground. It's like you're using a, what do you call those things?
Jackhammer.
A jackhammer that shakes the land, like an earthquake. Others say no, because the Rosh Hashanah is when I move over this dirt here, the other dirt won't be reinforced. It's going to make the other dirt less strong and weaker. So one of those reasons the digging is going to be the problem, according to Rashi.
Is there a shear for like a bore? Meaning if I do a really big bore, would it be bigger, more than three tefachim?
I don't think the Gemara talks about it. Once my bore has to start, no matter how wide I make it, your property is there. As long as I'm three tefachim away, it seems like you can make it as wide as possible, but I don't remember the whole parak.
I think if you go too deep,
right, it could affect more.
Yeah.
I don't remember. I guess we'll see. I don't think it comes up in this staff, the depth or the width of the bore, but I guess we'll look out for that. But it would make sense. The deeper you go, the wider you go, it might have a greater impact on three twelve.
That's what Rashi means here, though. How it softens the...
Right. So in which case, what Stevie's saying is that the depth and the width, how much time I'm spending on it, is going to make it weaker and weaker and weaker. Yeah. So
even though you're logically mutter.
Right, so it might not be. There might be some limitations. Maybe Stephen suggests this. Stevie's saying that maybe it's only a bore that's a standard size. But if you're doing a bigger one, maybe you have to... So I will have to look out for that. Now, Tosos has a different approach here. Look at Tosos, Dibur Maschil Lo Yachbor. He says, Kol Hani Airi De'isbu Maya. All these diggings, the bore and the Shiach Amar, have water inside. The Taima Mishim Mesunta. The whole problem here is water. The Gemara is going to say in Amud Beis. So it's a water problem, and the water is going to, of course, soften the ground and ruin the guy's property. So Tema, the Gemara, Tosos asks, Lari, v'ha amrinim megemara kol mara mara de kamachis, but the Gemara says it's the digging, kol mara. Each time I dig, put my shovel in, it's the digging. So is it the digging, or is it the water? So v'omari, delo kamar ela shime'osa sha maschil hahezek. Now, when I initially dig my bore, that's when the hezek begins. It's my arrow. I started shooting my arrow with the shovel. But the real damage is when the water comes on. Once I make my mara, I make my bore, I put the water, and that's really the problem. It begins with the digging, but the digging isn't the problem. Rashi, the digging is the problem. Each time I dig it, it shakes the land, it softens the ground. But Tosas says, no, it's really the water that's the problem. And that's machlokas Rashi and Tosas say throughout the parak. Okay, so we're good. Let's turn the page now. I'm a bit. Gemara now says, Pasach bibor v'sayim bekosas. I pointed out the Mishnah started saying you have to separate from your friend's boar, and then the Mishnah concluded that stage, and therefore you need to separate three tefachim from the guy's wool. So which one? Is it the boar or is it the kosa? So the Gemara says, I skip the parentheses, Amar Bai says, first of the Havamina here is, look at Rashi actually. Rashi says in the first Dibur Maschil, Pasach bibor, Samach lebor shel chaver, that's how the Mishnah introduces itself. And then it concludes, Ela im kein hirchach mikosa. That's what we just said. Havle le misne, where the Mishnah should have said, Elam kein hirchach miboro. It should have said, until you separate from the guy's boar. Zeilu mikoslo, kosa banoi agave karku. The Havamina here is, which wall are we talking about? Not the wall that's in the ground holding the boar together, the wall that's apparently above ground, that's the wall that we're talking about. Now, I'm guessing that wall is not directly above the boar. I'm imagining there's a pit here. And the wall is a few feet away from the boar, just protecting the boars. It's going to mean that I, as the neighbor, have to go much further from the guy's wall than from the boar, which is inside the walls. So it's a very strange thing. So the Gemara says, no, Amar Abai explains here, V'isei Merav Yehuda, Mikosel Boro Shaninu. We're not referring to the boar that's above ground, we're referring to the boar that's inside the ground, which is the boar. That's another way of referring to the boar, the wall of the boar. So the Gemara says, then, if it's talking about the boar itself, Lisne, the Mishnah should have concluded, Ela im kein hirchak mi boro shel chavero gimel tvachim. It should have said, until you separate three tvachim from the guy's pit. Why is it confusing us by mentioning the word kosel in the Mishnah? So Gemara is telling us we're learning something from this Mishnah, something very important. Hokamashmalam, we're learning the kosel bor shloshet tvachim. That the wall of a boar has to be three tvachim. Why had we learned this? Because if you really said three tvachim from the boar, so now, if I separate from the center, let's say the center of the bore, or even the edge of the bore, I should say, the edge of the hole here, if I'm separating three tefachim, I could build my bore mamish on the other side of the guy's wall here, which is not really fair to do that, mamish sharing the same wall of his bore and that bore. The fact that the Mishnah says you have to separate from the guy's kosel of the bore, the wall of the wall of the bore, that tells me that Three tefachim is the size of the actual wall. That's what we're learning. Every person's bor, the minimum size, it has to be three tefachim in order to give it enough reinforcement so that the bor stays intact. That's what we're learning from this Mishnah.
Can you try digging up the fourth tefach?
No, of the...
We assign three tefachim to be the wall,
mm-hmm.
and then the fourth tefach.
No, because we're doing three tefachim from the end of the wall.
I don't understand how we
learn. Have we not mentioned the wall? Let's we said separate from the guy's bor. So I'd calculate the end of the guy's hole. The hole ends here. Forget his wall.
Right.
So I do three tefachim, one, two, three. Now I start building my own bor. Now, the problem with that is, how that Misha said that, that bor I'm building is mamash on this sharing his wall now. Because
right.
The wall is three tefachim wide.
No, I understand. I don't understand. Where does it learn that the wall of a bor has to be three tefachim?
Because why did the Misha mention a wall in the first place?
Okay.
It shouldn't. So the fact that it mentioned it tells us that you can't measure from the hole. Because that's going to be...
No, that I understand. I still don't understand why what it gets at that wall. I understand that it's teaching us that it's three tefachim from the wall. But where do you learn that the wall has to be three tefachim? I don't get that.
Because again, if you didn't mention wall, so then you would say that where's three tefachim come from? My hole...
I understand that.
But so that tells us that a normal wall has to be three tefachim then.
Okay.
Because your bor that you're digging out has to have a three tefach distance from the end of his kosa.
Really,
so yours is three tefach
from
the kosa.
It's going to be six tefach apart.
The actual
hole in the ground will be six tefach apart, right?
In the end of the day, there'll be six tefach, right?
Oh,
Each dirt will be six tefach in between two different bors. Fine. Okay, so Gemara says then, so nafkamina, what's the nafkamina for this? The lemeka chomemkar for buying and selling, meaning what? The kedatani, the Raisa tells us, haomer lechavero bor, v'kosle ani mocher lecha, tzarech shehe kosel shlosha tvachem. If I tell a guy I'm selling you a pit, and I'm selling the walls with it, that means with that pit you're getting three tvachem of property around the wall, around the bor. That's what the definition of a kosel is. Okay. Gemara now says a big machlokas here. Itmar, habal lismoch bitzad hameitzar. Let's say I want to put my bor mamash up against our border between the different two different houses or two different properties. Abai omer somech, I'm allowed to mamash put my bor mamash next to the property line. Rav amar eno somech, and I said Rav says you can't. I need to give some buffer here. It has to be a few tefachim away from the borderline. So what's the machlokas here? The Gemara says bisade hasuya liboros. If they're properties that are typically made for holes, you make bores in them. The divriya kol eno somech, you're not allowed to. You're not allowed to put my bore up next to your wall, because just like I could build a bore here, you have every right to build your own bore on your property, so I can't mamish push my bore up to the property line. Because that means you would have to separate six tefachim away from the borderline. That's not very fair. Your kosel is digging into my property. So you can't mamish go up against the line. Kipligi, when is there machlokes? Bisada she'ena asuya leboros. If the property that's not typically made into boros, so this is the machlokes. Abai omer somech, I'm allowed to put my bor mamish up to the property line. You know, up to the boros. There's no way. I'm not thinking you're going to build a bor because this is a property. No one builds boros in our area of town here, so I'm not concerned that's going to affect you at all. I'm building my bor next to the property line. It will have zero impact on you. It's so you could be somech. But Rav Amar, no, you know somech. I can't put my bor up next to the property line because my neighbor's going to say to me, just like you change your mind and you wanted to build a bor on your property, so I might also change my mind and decide to build a bor in my property. That's not fair. And therefore, Rava says, you are not allowed to be somech onto the property line. That's the first approach at this machlokas. Then the Gemara quotes in Ikadamri, Bisada she'ena asui leboros. If it's a property that's not made for boros, Divriya kol somech, everybody agrees, you are allowed to put the bor up against the property line. Kipligi, when is there a machlokas? Bisada hasuya leboros. If it's a property that is meant for building boros, what's the machlokas here? Abai amar somech, afilu. So Abai says you're allowed to be somech. If it's a property that is made for boros, you are allowed to be somech. Afilu l'rabbanan, even the Rabbanan agree that you're allowed to be somech. Who the Rabbanan? The Amri, they hold marchikin es ha'ilan min habur esim v'chamish chamish ama. So if I have a tree, I need to, and there's a pit. Let's say you have a pit in your property, and I want to plant a tree in my property. Rabban hold, I need to separate 25 amos. The tree has to be 25 amos from the boor, because eventually the tree is going to grow roots, and the roots are going to spread out. They're going to impact your boor. So there, your Rabban is very machmir. They have to separate so much. But in this case, they allow you to be so much. What's the difference? Hasam who the beinna the kanata ish labor. Because when I'm planting my tree, the moment I'm digging for my tree, the boar is already there, so I'm causing damage right now. Aval hacha, in this case, beinna the kachafar lesh labor. When I'm digging the boar first in my property, you don't have a boar yet, so there's no current, there's no nizak that's present that's going to be damaged at all. So Rabbanan agree in this case, you are allowed to be mamish somech up until the property line. Rav amar eino somech, I'm not allowed to somech. And afilu Rabbi Yossi, even Rabbi Yossi, who's makil in general, Dama, we're going to get very involved, we're going to get very familiar with Rabbi Yossi over the next few days. Afilu Rabbi Yossi, Dama, ze chofer besoch shalo, ze notech besoch shalo, I can do what I want on my property, I can dig a pit, you can do what you want on your property. You have no control what can be done on my property, and I have no control what can be done on your property. So in general, you could do whatever you want, you can be somech. But in this case, it's different. Here he says, "Eino samechau." Harni mile hasam debina de kanate lisnal de sharshav demaskile bor. Because there, when I'm planting my tree, at that moment there are no roots. The roots come years later. But right now, there's no damage taking place for my roots, so you can mamish put my tree up against your border. That's fine. Aval hacha here, amalhu. The guy says, "Kol maro maro de kamachias." Every shovel you put in, every dig you do, you're kamar face lay lara, you're weakening the land. Every time I dig it, put the shovel in, that weakens the land further. There is current, this present damage. So even in this case, Rabbi Yossi would agree, you mamish cannot be somech to the property. So this is the ikad amri of whether you can be somech or not somech. So again, these are two very different approaches to try to keep them in mind as we go through the next number of proofs. Okay. So let's just to recap one second, just to have them clear. The first ikadami we said that in a situation where it's a sadeh that's asuya leboros, that's meant for building pits, no one allows you to put up against the property line. It's only a case where it's a sadeh that's not ru'uya, is there machlokas. And the ikadami says the opposite. In a sadeh that's not ru'uya, everybody agrees you can be somech. But if it's a sadeh that's ru'uya, asuya leboros, then that's where the machlokas is. So that's the two ikadamis. So now the Gemara quotes our Mishnah as a raya for one of the tzadim. Tanan. Lo yachpor adam bor b'samich lebor shechaveiro. A person cannot build a pit, dig a pit next to his friend's pit. Taima dika bor, only because my friend already has a pit before mine. Haleka bor, if there is, my friend has no pit yet, somich, I can mamish put my bor up until to the property line. I don't need to be marchik at all. So this is a raya, so we have to know what type of field this is though. But it's a raya that you can be somich. So how are you going to understand this? It's a Mishnah. So Bishma, this makes sense, lahach lishna, according to that ikadamri, damer that holds, bisade she'ina suyla boros, if it's a property that's not fit for making boros, divrei hakol somich, everyone allows you to be somich, both Rav and Abayi allow you to be somich, so therefore, you just establish that our Masnisin, our Mishnah, is Besada Sheina Asui Leboros. And then that's why everyone agrees you could be Somech if my friend doesn't have a boar as of yet. But El Lahachlisha, according to the other Ikadami that holds, Damris Besada Sheina Asui Leboros Pligi, that they're arguing even by a field that is not Asui Leboros. So I understand, according to Abaye, you could be Somech. Abaye works well with the Mishnah. But according to Rava, that says, even in this case, you cannot be Somech. So how is he going to understand the Mishnah? The Mishnah says, only because my friend has a pit already, that's why I have to be Marchik. But if he doesn't have a pit, I could be Somech. But Abaye says, Rava says, you can't be Somech. So Bishma, Abaye, this makes sense according to Abaye Nicha, because Abaye holds you can be Somech, so that's the understanding of the Mishnah. El Rava Kasha. According to Rava, he says, you can never be Somech. So how does he understand the Mishnah? So Amalcha Rava explains himself, Ha'itmar la, it was said on this Mishnah, Amar Abaye, Bisemer Rav Yehuda, Mikosel Boro Sheninu. No, from the wall of the boar you have to talk about. What does that mean? How does that explain the answer? So look at Rashi. Rashi says, where did Rashi go? Look at what you see, Rashi, Elo Labai Kasha. So Rashi says, no, that's not, but we went to Rav Kasha. Above that. Ha'itmar Allah, Mikosel Boro Sheninu, Rashi says, V'lamadnu, we learned, ba, she'af harishon huskak laharchik k'dei kosel shu shlosha tvachem k'dei amrinam. No, we learn from the Mishnah, whenever you build a pit, you always have to have three tvachem of a wall. So that's what we're learning from the Mishnah. Eina, of course you need to distance yourself. You're making the wrong inference from the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, if my friend has a pit, I need to be marchik from his wall another three tvachem, which implied, if he didn't have a pit, I could be somech. No, you can't be somech. I could make it close to the property line, but I still need to have three tvachim of wall that's still on my property line. I can't make my whole mamash next to the line. I need my whole plus three tvachim, and then that's where the border is. So yes, of course you need to have that proper separation. And then the Mishnah is telling us, when my neighbor wants to build his board, he needs to also separate another three tvachim for his own wall next to my wall of the pit. That's how Abaye wiggles out of this kasha for the Mishnah. Then the Gemara says, Ikadami, others say, Itmar la, it was said on the Mishnah, Amar Abaye, Vissei Rav Yehuda, Mikosel, Baroshaninu. So that we learn from this Mishnah that you can never be somech. You can never be somech for the Mishnah we're learning out. Really, the first guy there always has to leave three tvachim. So this is going to be Kashin Abaye. Abaye, who allows you to be somech, our Mishnah says you can never be somech. Whenever you build a boar, you always have to leave three tvachim of a buffer. So you can't be somech. So the Gemara explains, Bishma lahach lishna damris, this all makes sense. According to that man, Damar, damris bisada hasui leboros, divri akol eina somech. That if everyone agrees, if it's a field that's meant to making pits, so everybody agrees you can't be somech. So our masnis and our mishnah is a case, hasui leboros. That's why our mishnah says you need to leave three tvachim as the kosel on your property. Alahach lishna, according to the other ikadami, damris bisada hasui leboros pligi, that they even argue in a field where it's meant to make boros pligi. So bishma l'rava nicha. So Rava makes sense because Rava learns you still have to have that buffer zone, the three tvachim over the wall, because he always holds eino somech. El Abaye kasha. According to Abaye's kasha, because Abaye says you're allowed to be somech my board to his property line, but our mission indicates you can never be somech. You always have to leave three tvachim of the kosel next to your board. So the Gemara says, Amr l'cha Abaye. Abaye says, Masnisin shebo lachbor bebas achas. Our mission is talking about a special case where they're both coming to build it together at the same time. So what does that mean? Look at Rashi. Rashi says that, that's he explained the question. So I think the point is that when they're both building at the same time, you can actually share the three tefachim wall. You don't have to have two separating walls. If we're both digging at the same time, so then we could share the same three tefachim wall. And that's the case where your mamish can be somech. It won't be exactly somech because one and a half tefachim on each side of the property, but you can be more somech than the typical case of three tefachim, which totals six tefachim.
Isn't that by teaching the Mishnah here, with the Basachas? Or is it the Mishnah that requires that? That he was at Maranit, that the Mishnah requires three tvachim, implying you would need six tvachim, that's when they're both going to dig at the same time.
You're saying the six tvachim is only when you're bevas achas?
Right, that the six tvachim in the Mishnah is bevas achas.
Let's see, Rashi doesn't say this, right? Is there a Tosfos here? So it says here, they explain, there's apparently a big discussion in the Shonim here, Tosfos Rush, they explain here what Adam just said, of course, that our Mishnah, the only time you have to leave a total of six tvachim is when they're building bebas achas. I guess that's more, you know, if I'm digging at the same time as him, it's going to have the wall collapse if we're building at the mamish at the same time. But the situation where I build mine first, and then he builds a second, then you can mamish be somich onto the property line. Which itself is pretty strange, though. You would imagine you have to have at least leave one and a half tvachim on each side. But the way this is being understood by it seems like the Tosfos Rush down here, that no. Again, our Mishnah, when you have to leave three tvachim for each party, a total of six tvachim, is when we're building at the same time, so there's now the land's extra vulnerable, so you need a greater buffer zone. If I'm building first, then I can build my Mishnah up to the property line, and when you build yours, you need to leave three tvachim for that buffer between our two different boroughs. Okay, that's how Abaye understands the Mishnah. Let's do one more Tashma. We can do two more Tashmas. The Gemara says, Tashma. A sela haba b'yadayim zecho for boro mikan v'zecho for boro mikan zemarchik shlosh tvachim v'sad besid v'zemarchik shlosh tvachim v'sad besid. So the Mishnah here says if I'm building my own pit with my hand, I could dig it out. It's soft property. I have to separate three tvachim, and if you build it, you have to separate three tvachim as well. So we see from all this though that you cannot mamish go up until the property line. You have to separate the three tvachim. Even though I come first, I can't be somich. So the Gemara says, no, this whole case of Babi Adayim Shiny, this whole case is different. You can't bring me a proof from Babi Adayim, because Rashi explains that Babi Adayim Karka Rach Umiskastish Melav, it's so soft it's going to collapse on its own. Because soft property needs more space. When it comes to stronger dirt, maybe Einachanami, you can be somech. But this case is a very different case when you're dealing with very soft dirt that can be dug up by a dime. You don't need a shovel. So Gemara says, it's so obvious, but the Karle, my Karle, what was the Havamina? Of course, Babi Adayim, you have to separate because it's such soft property. You can't bring me a raya from soft property, from soft dirt. So Gemara explains, no, Babi Adayim Itzrechla, you need to teach it to me, this case, because Sagadayta Chamina, I would think, Kaven the Babi Adayim, since it can be dug on its own, and it's really soft dirt, Libai Nami Rav Chatfei, maybe you need more than the typical 3 Tvachim per party. Maybe you need 4 Tvachim or 5 Tvachim per wall, Kamash Blan, even for soft dirt, it's sufficient to have simply 3 Tvachim per each wall. Alright, let's stop here, I guess. Pick up tomorrow. Gemara's going to go through a number of Morayas tomorrow, very technical Gemara's, and then we get more familiar with the Rabbi Yossi at the end. Okay.
Tomorrow's hard though.